الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. صدق الله العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا ومن كفر بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأطيعوا الرسول لعلكم ترحمون لا تحسبن الذين كفروا معجزين في الأرض ومأواهم النار ولبئس المصير صدق الله العظيم. The translation of this surah, Surah Nur, in the name of Allah, most compassionate, most merciful. God has promised to those among you who believe and work righteous deeds that He will of a surety grant them in the land of inheritance of power as He granted it to those before them, that He will establish in authority their religion, the one which He has chosen for them, and that He will change their state after the fear in which they live to one of security and peace. They will worship me alone and not associate aught with me. If any do reject faith after this, they are rebellious and wicked. So establish regular prayer and give regular charity and obey the apostle, that ye may receive mercy. Never think thou that the unbelievers are going to frustrate Allah's plan on earth. Their abode is the fire, and it is indeed an evil refuge.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 70 years ago to this year that the Muslim Ummah have found themselves in the state of non-Islam, in Dar al-Kufr. Our world in this day and in this age we're living in is dominated by the forces of disbelief. We find Western capitalism has left our lands as colonial rulers, but we find our minds still in some way colonialized. We find our lands ruled over by regimes which do not represent Islam, which give us no unity but give us disunity. which give us no glory, but give us humiliation after humiliation. In light of these facts, undeniable facts, the Muslim Unity Organization has convened today's conference to discuss the issues and affairs of the Muslim Ummah in light of the destruction of the Khilafah 70 years ago, to discuss what is the undeniable revival of the Muslim Ummah. We are waking up to Islam. There is no question about it. The fact that a conference such as this is being organized in the heart of Dar al-Kufa bears testament to the fact that the Muslim Ummah is awakening. We wish today to cover some of the implications of the destruction of the Khilafah, to discuss some of our contemporary problems, the contemporary political issues which are affecting the Muslim Ummah. But more than that, and most importantly, we wish to, inshallah, to discuss today our role and our responsibility of being part of the global Islamic revival. And we have a great responsibility wherever we live. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whatever belongs in this earth and whatever belongs in the heavens belongs to Him. So inshallah, welcome to the first session of the International Muslim Khilafah Conference. Inshallah, this morning, for this morning's session, we have three speakers. On my far right, assisted by his sister to translate him, is Brother Abdullah Ketish from the Bosnian Cultural Association. He's from Sarajevo. We all heard the news from Sarajevo this morning, how the Serbians are sharpening their swords again for another strike against the Muslims in that part of the world. Inshallah, Abdullah will fill us in with some pointers about which way forward we go with regards to that particular problem and the wider Muslim Ummah issue.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. People, brothers and sisters, I am Abdullah, the son of Muhammad, the son of Abdullah and On. I come from Bosnia, a country that according to our tradition was named after our ancestors who had come barefoot, both in Bosnian language, from the holy land of Yathrib and Hijaz, maintaining this name through centuries. Barefoot, because they carried their footwear out of their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On their heads, footwear given to them as presents by either the Messenger of God sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or by one of the closest companions of His. The country that they had come from and returned to with their faith in God and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was named Bosnia, meaning the country of barefoot, both in Bosnian language people. Namely, during centuries in this country, a small minority of the believers had been waiting for the last prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, announced by all prophets and messengers. When they heard that he came out, they immediately set out toward to the place in the holy house of God and the place well-watered land, rich in date palms between two tracts of black stones. They touched that holy time and holy space, and then they returned in their country, naming it Bosnia. They returned to testify fulfillment of their expectations and to testify Islam until the last day. The tradition may become from dreams, but for us it has been our holy reality. It is said that Hadrati Umar predicted to us that we would be a garden of Islam until the end of this world. Let us not forget that this prediction essentially means that we will constantly be tempted by losing both our property and life. I come from Bosnia, where Muslims have continually lived for more than 1,000 years. In the past 300 years, we have borne witness to destruction and killing. Waves of killing and destruction were coming in tides and ebb tides. One of the biggest tides is going on right now before our eyes. Over 1,000 of destroyed mosques, hundreds of thousands of the murderers, tens of thousands of raped women, mothers, sisters, hundreds of burned towns and villages are the figures that bespeak or the facts that the Muslims in Bosnia, among the other peoples in Europe, have been most frequently exposed to persecution and eviction throughout the entire history of establishing something that is called one civilization for each man, democracy, liberalism, new world order, secularism, born to kill and eradicate us. Because they recognize in us the witnesses of the word on the eternity of God and the judgment day, as well as the witnesses before all the peoples. More than 1,000 years long history of the Muslims in Bosnia is a warning to those alive, a source of strength and a way to future. We have not found a single sincere friend in any part of the world, despite the obviousness of the crimes committed against us before the very eyes of the world. Since European crusades to the Serbian and Croatian criminals nowadays, we have been dispatching messages to the world, but never receiving any answer from anywhere. But only as a part of a single being, as a part of Ummah, we can survive, but only through identifying enemies among us and the ones coming from the outside. We can survive, but only if we ensure a major part of our defense power ourselves, and if we show clearly to everyone that we pursue with the struggle in order to destroy life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to us, your enemies will not cease to fight against you till they have turned you away from your faith, if they can. Thus, to employ both our property and life in our struggle. And He is our only commander, our Lord, our God. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen.
How long do we have to wait until we establish what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described when he said the imam, the leader, the head of state is like a shield. We fight behind him and we defend ourselves with him. And perhaps Bosnia is a strong reminder to us of the necessity of our work to establish that imam, that leader over the Muslim ummah. Not a leader in a mosque or a community leader or a spiritual leader, but political leader who's got army to help the Muslims in Bosnia, to help the Muslims in Kashmir, to help the Muslims in China. And Brother Abdullah is giving us reminder of our duty to establish that defensive force, or Omar Bashir, or any of the regimes which exist today. And that's part of the purpose of today's conference, to highlight those kind of issues. To turn to Brother Abdullah Ramadan. He's from the Islamic movement in Turkey, which from all the news which we receive is a very advanced movement. From all the news we receive, the revival of Islam has taken firm root in many countries, and Turkey is one of those countries. And you only have to look at the repression of the Turkish regime against the Islamic movement, as in many other countries, to understand how much now Islam is perceived as the only ideological alternative and the only ideological threat. So, Brother Abdullah, inshallah, Abdullah Ramadan from Turkey.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Alemlerin Rabbi olan Allah'a hamd olsun. Salat ve selam Allah'tan aldığı dini İslam'ı en güç şartlara ve bütün zorluklara göğüs gererek en güzel bir şekilde tebliğ eden şanlı Resul sallallahu aleyhi ve selleme ve onun tebliğine icabet eden âli eshabına, günümüzde de onun davetini yüklenip yolunu takip ederek düşüncesine İslami akideyi esas, amellerine de şer'i hükümleri ölçü ve kaynak kabul edenlerin üzerine olsun.
Thanks for the God. This was merciful and thanks for the God who's merciful and salatu salam ala rasulihi, the prophet of Islam, who is the best man who delivered Islam for the people and the followers of him who do the Islam very well, his companion. And the people who follow them, only these people are the successful people in this world.
Sizleri selamların en güzeli olan İslam'ın selamı ile selamlarım. Esselamu aleyküm ve rahmetullahi ve berekatuh.
The best salam is from me for the people who is coming here is the salam of the Islam. It's assalamu aleykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Teala bu toplantımızı halis kılmasını, onu İslam ve Müslümanlar hayrına yönelik kılmasını dileriz. Aynı şekilde Allahu Teala'dan feraset ve besaretimizi aşmasını diler, hakkı hak olarak gösterip ona tabi olmayı, batılı da batıl olarak gösterip ondan kaçınmayı ihsan etmesini dileriz.
The guidance from the God and his prophet, which is given us from the Quran and from the Sunnah, who is the follower from this guidance, is the successful in this world, and who is the going any farther from this way, is misleader in this world.
Muhterem kardeşlerim, gönül isterdi ki şu anda aramızda kalabalık bir halde Müslümanlar, Müslüman Türklerin de bulunmasını. Ne yazık ki Müslümanların zihinlerine yerleşmiş olan gayri İslami fikirler, Müslümanlar arasındaki İslami akideden kaynaklanan bağı koparıp onlara milliyetçilik ve vatancılık mefhumlarının yerleşmesine sebep olmuştur.
The problem is the facing the Turkish Muslim people and all the other Muslim people is because of the ideals which they carry in it, is kufr ideal and the nationalism and the tribalism and the democracy and capitalism, the other methods which they carry in it, because they forget the Islam and forget the hukum, the Islamic law systems. How to unite the Turkish Muslim brothers and other Muslim brothers is not by the calling for the other methods which is implemented on the world today. Is how to establish Khilafah system is the best way to all the Muslims, all the humankind in this world.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wa anna hadha sirati mustaqiman fattabi'uhu wa la tattabi'u as-subla فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَب۪يلِهِ ذَٰلُكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِه۪ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Şu emrettiğim yol benim dost doğru yolumdur. Hep ona uyun. Başka yollara ve dinlere uyup gitmeyin ki sizi onun yolundan saptırıp parçalamasınlar. İşte Allah kötülüklerden sakınasınız diye bunları emretti.
This is the verse from the Quran, which say, this is my way to be followed. Don't follow another ways to make you go among yourselves to killing each other. That this is what Allah advised us to follow.
Yine Allah Teala, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya eyyuhallazina amanu la takhunullaha ve rasula ve takhunu emanatikum ve entum ta'lamun.
Also, this is the verse, another verse, he say, O who believer, don't cheat Allah and his prophet and cheat your trustee and you know in it.
Esas konumu sizlere sunamadığım için hepinizden özür dilerim. Esselamu aleyküm ve rahmetullahi ve berekatuh.
Thank you very much for your listening and Esselamu aleyküm ve rahmetullahi ve berekatuh.
Today, alhamdulillah, we have Brother Abu Talha. who tells me his talk is going to speak for itself, so we're not going to really introduce him much. He's just Islamic activist like all of us. So Brother Abu Talha.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم والحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا كما أمر رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. What a great day this is. What a great day indeed that we have gathered here, Muslims, united only by our aqidah. Not being from Bosnia or Turkey or Jordan or Egypt, but because we are Muslims and we believe that Allah is the only God, that who has to be worshipped in this world, and that Muhammad, the final and the last prophet and messenger of Allah, who has received the final revelation, the revelation of mercy, not for the Arabs, not for Mecca, but for all mankind, for all of us here in this hall, and for the people outside, and for the rest of the world, for those who suffer, and those who are in pain, and those who think that they are not in pain, but indeed they suffer more than us. Yes, indeed, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received that final message more than 1400 years ago. And the message from the very first time when it was revealed was not an infant, was not a young, was a giant. From the very first day it was revealed, Islam was a giant when Allah told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the first revelation, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق. It's your Lord who has created you. It's in the name of that Lord that you shall start, that you shall read, and that you shall begin this message. Not in the name of the tyranny of Mecca, not in the name of the idols that only have to be destroyed then, but in the name of the Lord who has created, the Lord who has created man from that clot, the Lord who has taught the people, and the Lord who has created the pen which we use in order to write and in order to convey our message with that means of accessing the minds of the people, not by the force, not by the power, not by violence, but it is the power of the mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stressed from the very first day of the revelation. Islam indeed was a giant when it did not recognize the tyrants of Mecca, like Abu Jahl, like Abu Lahab, like Al-Walid, and all the like. It was a giant when it did not recognize the idols around the Kaaba, and did not recognize those who worship the idols. It was a giant when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a surah in the Quran, condemning Abu Lahab. تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ مَا أَغْنَ عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ. Condemning that tyrant. And the people, the Muslims then, were reading and reciting this surah in their prayers, condemning the tyrant of the day. And today Islam recognizes no tyranny as well. Yes indeed, brothers and sisters. Yes indeed, Muslims of the world. Indeed, Islam was a message. It was a great message. It was a message for all mankind. And Allah stated that from the very early days of Islam. وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. It is nothing but a dhikr. It's a reminder. It's a message. It's a revelation. It's a mercy for all the world. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you, Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. We have sent you as a messenger, as a mercy for all the world. رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Explains our message today, the same message we are bringing to the world today. He spoke of that message then and he said, لَقَدْ أَخْرَجَنَا اللَّهِ. We have not come out ourselves, it's Allah who delivered us. لَقَدْ أَخْرَجَنَا اللَّهِ. We were delivered by Allah. Allah sent a message, a messenger from among us. He revealed the Quran and the Sunnah, and we conducted ourselves according to the Quran and the Sunnah, and therefore we are delivered by Allah, not by ourselves, not the nationalism of Arabia, not the fact that we were in Mecca and the people come to worship and to make Hajj, but on the contrary, it's Allah who delivered us, not for any reason, but لنخرج الناس من عبادة العباد إلى عبودية رب العباد, so that the people will no longer worship one another. They will not worship people. They will not worship tyrants. They will not worship the White House, United Nations, Security Council, superpowers, the nuclear powers. That the people will worship only Allah. Allah has delivered us to worship only Allah. ولنخرج الناس من ظلم الأديان وجورها إلى عدل الإسلام. And so that we will save the people. We will rescue the people. We will liberate the people from the oppression practiced by the systems. What oppression we have today? An oppression in South Africa, in Bosnia, in Kashmir, in Palestine, in Egypt, in Iraq, in Algeria, in America, in Britain right here, in Europe. What oppression practiced by the world powers, by the economic systems, by the banking systems, and by what have you. People today own nothing. Almost everything is owned by a certain bank, this or another one. And that Rub'i ibn Amir was saying that we have come to liberate the people from this type of oppression and to transfer them to the justice of Islam, إلى عدل الإسلام. وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سِعَةِ الْآخِرَةِ. And this life, the horizons of this life are so narrow. The horizons of this materialistic life is so narrow. After a certain time, you end up wandering nowhere, looking for some type of alcoholism or drugs or AIDS or cancer. All of these problems are engraving this world and encompassing every aspect of this life. But the Sahaba, he says, we want to bring the people to the wider horizons of the day after. إِلَىٰ سِعَةِ الْآخِرَةِ. It's the life that does not end. It's the life that has an endless joy. If the people are after joy, then that is the life. And that's the message which those Muslims have brought more than 1400 years ago. And they carried that message. And they indeed brought justice. They brought dignity. They brought honor to the people. And at no time the Arabs or those who carried the earlier message of Islam practiced any superiority and made the other people feel inferior. But on the contrary, the Muslim Ummah was melting in one pot, the pot of Islam. That was a melting pot. It's not the melting pot which Bush called a few years ago. America was a melting pot where the blacks still have no rights, where the Indians are still in their camps, where the whites are the only ones who hold wealth. That is not a melting pot. The melting pot is what we have witnessed for more than 12 or 1300 years, where all Muslims from all walks of life, just like we are today here, we are all Muslims. We might speak different languages, we have different looks on our faces, but deep in our hearts, we are one ummah, we are united, we are brothers by all the means, by all the meanings of that word of a brotherhood and friendship. We are not faking it, and Islam does not fake it. Islam has indeed brought all the nations together, and that the world has witnessed that for quite a long time. More than 54 tiny little cartoonic states, states that do not possess any power, not even the political will. There are states who have submitted completely to their masters in London, in Paris, and in Washington. These states do not represent the people or the Muslims or Islam. On the contrary, they have accepted the regimes there, accepted to be the guards of kufr, to protect against the return of Islam, to protect the interests of the United States and Europe in the Middle East. And we all have seen how a couple of years ago, when the United States and Europe and the Allies, they have brought 500,000 soldiers. They brought them in the soil of Muslims, on the land of Muslims, under the protection of the leadership in those states. Since the elimination of Khilafah and the Islamic State, the Muslims have not seen a single joyful day. The Muslim Ummah has not lived a single day without pain, a single day without suffering. The Muslim Ummah have not seen dignity and honor as an Ummah. Although the Ummah, the people of Islam, are the most honorable and the most dignified one by the fact they believe in Islam, but in the reality, in the real world, we see in the contrary. And that was the work of a conspiracy. This was the work of a conspiracy that has gathered the tyrants of the world, the superpowers, and have lobbied some of their agents and puppets all over the world, including the Muslim world, and that have come to this place or have come to this position. And there has been a systematic approach for eliminating Islam and for suppressing Islam. Yes, indeed, the Muslims have never given up the ideas of Islam. The Muslims have never given up the idea that they are the best ummah delivered for mankind. The Muslims have always vowed to come back, but the suppression of Islam was systematic. The suppression of Islam was not in an unorderly manner, it was a systematic manner. At all levels, the kafirs of the world, including those ones who rule the Muslim world, have worked at all levels in the educational system. The curricula in the Muslim world is designed to produce personalities that are loyal to the Western civilization. They are designed to produce personalities that look at the history of Islam as only a history that we admire as historians, but not as an example. It's not as a method to seek our way out. The educational system in the Muslim world today is trying to eliminate all those verses of jihad which called for the dignity of the ummah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated that this is life. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O you who believe, reply or respond to the call of Allah whenever He calls you for what makes you alive. What makes the ummah alive is al-jihad. Is al-jihad for the cause of Allah. Al-jihad for the prosperity of Islam and for the dominance of Islam. Al-jihad not for oppressing the people and not for breaking the bones of the people. Al-jihad not for killing the millions of people like in Hiroshima or Nagasaki. Al-jihad not to take more than 20 or 30 million lives in the First and Second World War. Al-jihad of Islam that has not consumed even 1% of the lives which were consumed in the wars of the kafirs. This is the life. This is the life which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called the Muslims for. And this is what is being eliminated today from the educational system. In Egypt, there are committees, brothers and sisters, who are working day and night to take out the verses or the chapters of the book of the religion studies and Arabic and history that would even give any idea about how Muslims should conduct their life in the worldly affairs. Economic way, the superpowers and their regimes, the puppet ones, the guards of the kufr, who are stationed in all over the Muslim world, they have made those countries suppliers of raw materials, suppliers of energy for the Western industrial nations, and all of the Muslim world has been left and unindustrialized without any type of infrastructure for bringing an economic system, a strong one that could lead to an independence from the Western powers in Europe or in America. But our hope is not going away. And the process of the revival of the Islamic message has not stopped for a single second, not for any time, not for a blink of an eye. The process for bringing Islam back to the lives of the people has been ongoing since the destruction of Khilafah. The Muslims in India, they immediately formed a movement for Khilafah right after its destruction. And from that time on, movements after movements, scholars after scholars, they have come and they have contributed to the resurgence of Islam. Everyone using his own method and his own way. There are flows here and there, we recognize that. The method might not be accurate, the vision might not be clear, in any of these movements or in one or another. But the truth of the matter is that the Muslim Ummah, with their thinkers, with their movements, have brought to the world one fact that no one can deny, the fact that Islam is coming back in the coming days.
Inshallah.
The fact that Islam is resurging, the fact that Islam cannot be eliminated. And indeed, brothers and sisters, if Islam was to be eliminated, Islam would have been eliminated at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the tyrants of Mecca opposed Islam and the message of Islam. If Islam was to be eliminated, it would have been eliminated in Samarkand and Bukhara and Tashkand, where the communist Soviets, they have suppressed Islam for more than 70 years by force. But Islam is growing and is rising from the depths, from under rubble. Islam is rising. If Islam was to be eliminated and to be destroyed, it would have been destroyed in Bosnia and Croatia and the Serbs, where the Yugoslavs have eliminated or tried to suppress Islam by force. But today the Muslims are carrying the banner. If Islam was to be eliminated from this world, it would have been eliminated long time ago. But Islam has an internal power. It's a power that the Kafirs do not understand until they become Muslims. It's a power that no one will be able to realize until he understands and believes in Islam and he feels it deep in his heart. It's that power that makes the Muslim love to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than he loves this life. It's that power that unites this life with what has preceded it and with what is coming after. It's that power that brings coherency between a human and the universe at all, because all of the universe makes tasbih to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we do in our prayers. It's the intrinsic power that anyone who reads the Quran and believes in it will find it. Inna fi dhalika la'ayatin liqawmin ya'qilun. There are signs for people who ration, for people who think, for people who ponder, not for the ignorant ones, not the ones who live in their tyranny, not the ones who live in their darknesses. For qawmin ya'qilun, anyone who rations in the Quran, anyone who reads the Quran and his heart is opened with the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will find the power right there, the intrinsic power right there, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the heavens, about the universe, about the people, and about justice. وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ. Allah has established the heavens, the skies, and He has laid down the balance. أَلَّا تَطْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. Do not disturb the balance. وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Establish all weights, all systems with justice. وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانِ. And lower not the balance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated. And let us not hesitate, and let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about the Khilafah very soon. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring Islam to the top very soon. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have his mercy upon all the world, upon the Muslims, and upon us in this hall. Let us pray that this day will be one step closer, will take us one step closer to the ultimate objective which we are calling for. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Takbir! Takbir! Allahu Akbar! Takbir! Let's show our appreciation, inshallah, for the rest of the today with a takbir rather than clapping.
Should we all, any one of us, leave that nationalism should be the basis by which we invite people to Islam. Before we go on to the next speaker, Farid Qasim and Omar Bakri Muhammad, who left in the middle of Dr. Israr Ahmed's talk, have actually gone for a press conference. And I hasten to add, for all those who have been following the press and all those who have been following the media surrounding the conference, by Allah, please buy the newspapers tomorrow, and please know the type of slander against the message that we are quoting today. Our next speaker is Brother Muhammad Hanini, who is a da'i from the United States, and his subject is the vital issues. The Muslim Ummah is facing calamity in all parts of the world. That is Bosnia, Kashmir, Somalia, Palestine. Areas where Muslims are occupied, oppressed, slaughtered and raped. Where kufr laws are enforced. Brother Muhammad Hanini, we are helpless and outline an Islamic strategy which will focus on the vital issue. Brother Muhammad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خير من أرسل سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تأسى به واتبعه إلى يوم الدين. Dear brothers, sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. I bear witness that there is none to be worshipped but Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final messenger of Allah. I bear witness that the only valid doctrine is the doctrine of Islam. And I bear witness that the only valid system to live by for individuals and societies is the system of Islam. I bear witness that every other system, every system, every law, every rule that is taken from other than the Quran and the Sunnah is invalid, null and void, and leads to the destruction of humanity in this world and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. As the brother has, the introducer has mentioned, the Muslim Ummah is passing through many problems. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, it is normal for any Ummah to pass through problems because we are living in a real world. It is also normal for any Ummah, including the Muslim Ummah, to face a problem which it will not be able to solve for a specific period of time. But it is not normal for an ummah that is on the level of the Muslim ummah to face problems and it fails in solving each of these problems. This is not normal. This is abnormal. If we quickly survey some of the problems of the Muslim world, whether it is the occupation of Palestine or Kashmir or Afghanistan or Bosnia, Somalia, Eritrea, the disunity among the Muslim Ummah, the ineffectiveness of the Muslim nation in the international scene, the fact that the Muslims are not able to solve their problems and affect the world, and rather they themselves are being affected and led by the world. The Muslim Ummah so far has failed in solving all of these problems, and this is only to mention a few. Such failure, in addition to other factors, has led to many members of this ummah to think that really the Muslim ummah is unable to solve its problems. That the Muslim ummah is weak. It does not have what it takes to lead, to solve its problems, to come back whole again. To the degree that some of us, some of our brothers and sisters, think that the solution to the Muslim problems lies within the hand of the United States or the United Nations or the Arab League or this organization or that, but never in the hands of the Muslims. The question is, why has the Ummah failed in solving its problems? Really, to have a better answer, we have to understand that the Muslim Ummah has suffered a lot And what do I mean by this? Is that the Muslim Ummah since the beginning of the 17th century has been a subject of a severe attack by the West that really has led the Ummah to lose its focus, to lose its priority system in realizing that the problems that arise are only to be solved by the Quran and the Sunnah, the basis of its belief. Such attack and such victory by the West and such defeat by the Muslims has led the Ummah to really to fail to understand where it should start in solving its problems. So you find the average Muslim dealing with the problems of the Muslims separately. So you will find the Muslims considering the problem in Palestine, that there is a land occupied and that is separate, a separate issue, a separate problem. As a matter of fact, some even consider it to be the most fundamental problem of the Muslims. Others view Kashmir on the same lines as well, that this is the same, that this is the very problem of the Muslim Ummah. The Muslims view the starvation throughout the world of Muslims as the focal point of the Ummah. They never link them. Each of them is handled separately. So what you find, that the solutions that are taken for Palestine are only related to Palestine, neglecting others. And mainly they are done by those of the same nationality of that land. Them have failed in solving any of these problems. And all of these problems are still standing, facing the Ummah, waiting for an actual root solution to them. Really, for us to solve these problems, we have to understand what the problem actually is, what the root cause is. So when we approach these problems, we approach them with enlightenment, with the ability to think, measure, see where the solution actually lies. So to start, we have to put a premise that really should not be put had the Ummah been on the level it should be on. If the Ummah really, truly understands its identity, what it is, the next paragraph that I'm going to say really is needless. But it is due to the intellectual decline among the Muslims. It is due to the confusion that they have that it's become necessary to state. It should be clear to all of us that the basis of our life is Islam. Our identity is Islam. We live by Islam. We live for Islam. And we die for Islam. It is Islam. It is Islam that is the basis of our thought. We think from the point of view of Islam. We feel according to Islam. We like what Allah likes. We hate what Allah hates. For no reason, but because our master, the one we worship, said that he likes it and that he hates the other one. Isn't it because of Islam that we demolished all of tribalism, all of nationalism bonds? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The best of you in the eyes of Allah, the most honorable few are those who fear Him the most, regardless of race or color. Don't we place the value for Palestine, not because it is a land, because after all it is a land just like any land, but the value of Palestine is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله. Praise be to Allah who transferred his slave at night from المسجد الحرام in Mecca to المسجد الأقصى, that which is blessed, the area around it is blessed. So it is because Allah, the one we worship, blessed it, we say that yes, it has a value. Isn't it because of Islam and the belief of Islam that the bond among us is brother, the brotherhood of Islam, so that we call each other brothers and sisters? Isn't it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةِ. Verily and only the believers are brothers. Isn't it because of Islam that we worry for Bosnia, that we worry for Somalia, that we worry for Kashmir, because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مثل المسلمين في توادهم وتراحمهم كمثل الجسد الواحد إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى له سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى. The example of the Muslims in their love, in their compassion, is the example of one body. With one part of it aches, the rest of the body rushes to its rescue. Isn't it that we care? Because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. He does not let him down. So we are not to let them down. We are not to let our Muslim brothers and sisters down for no reason, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered so. Well, what is the Islamic solution to these problems? Well, first of all, regarding the main problem, the vital issue of the Muslims, that is that by fully implementing Islam, such full implementation cannot take place without a state, without a government, without an entity that puts and enforces these rules in actual life, not only on the Muslims, but carries them as well to the non-Muslims. This state is what the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned and named as al-Khilafah. This is the state which the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders us to form, not because we worship a state, not because it in itself is the goal, rather because it is the vehicle through which Islam gets implemented. Islam gives other solutions. Once you establish this, that Islam is established, then naturally the rest of the problems will be taken care of according to Islam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summarizes beautifully the way that we protect ourselves by saying, إِنَّمَا الْإِمَامُ جُنَّةِ يُقَاتَلُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِ وَيُتَّقَى بِهِ. Verily the Imam is a shield behind whom you fight and you protect yourselves with. This is the Imam, my dear brothers and sisters. These are the words, the Imams or the Imam who waged wars to protect Islam. This was the Imam like al-Mu'tasim who waged war against the Roman Empire because one Muslim woman got kidnapped. She was not raped like 80,000 Muslim women in Bosnia. She was not humiliated, simply kidnapped. Because of that, he sent him an army that demolished his hometown and brought back the Muslim woman safe and sound. That is a manifestation of the shield which the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders to establish. My dear brothers and sisters, this is not a dream. And this is not folklore stories. Al-Khilafah was a fact for 1300 years. It saved the Muslims. No Muslim ever suffered as they do since the absence of Khilafah. Let us look at examples now, and I will mention only two. And then we should think. There are small issues that we have been counting as extremely big problems, like the problem of Palestine. The problem of Palestine simply is that a Muslim land taken over by the Zionists away from the Muslims. Such a land to defeat such an entity, according to the Joint Chief of Staff of the United States of America, he says that such an entity should not take more than 6 hours to eliminate. How come that the Muslims since 48 have been unable to solve such an entity, dissolve it, to take care of it, not in 6 hours, in 6 months or 6 years, or from 48 till now? What we find is truly, as Shimon Peres put it, that we are protected by the Arab regimes. These were now that are the regimes who come to the peace treaties with the Jews, giving them, stamping them, selling them Palestine piece by piece, while the Muslim Ummah is watching. I question, if there were a Khalifa like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, or like al-Mu'tasim Billah, would he accept such treason? Would he accept to give the Muslim land, protect the Jews against the Muslims from performing their jihad against them? Or he would be the leader of their army, just like the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, and just like all of the Khulafa were. Bosnia, we have been suffering and counting how many people have been killed. Every day we count extra bodies, one more body, 10,000 women raped here and there, and no solution. All it takes is to mobilize the Muslim armies that are standing by to quell or to quench those Islamists who call for Islam. Instead of that, why don't they get mobilized to resolve the Muslim Ummah, to solve Bosnia's problem, to liberate those Muslims over there? It is only because of the corrupt leadership, the un-Islamic leadership that is established in the Muslim world, that no solution is getting established. My dear brothers and sisters, the call for al-Khilafah, as I said, it is not a dream that we are hoping to achieve. I would be simply repetitious if I recite the ayat that the other scholars or the other representatives spoke about. The fact that the Khilafah is returning is a fact, and it is coming. And inshaAllah ta'ala, we will be from those who bring it back. While we understand that it is a fact and it is coming back, because nobody can make a promise and keep it better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has promised us the security and the establishment on earth and the Khilafah to return and rule. But it should be clear that we function in a real world, and the Khilafah is not a magic stick or a spell where you would put it and everything becomes so nice and rosy. No, it needs struggle. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struggled to establish the state, and he struggled to maintain it and to put it in the proper channel, and when I say struggled, I mean Sahaba paid their lives for it, and they put their wealth for it, they put their energy and many sleepless nights so that they can spread Islam, maintain this Islam and maintain its state, so that we as a result become Muslims due to their efforts. Together for the call for the return of Islam, so that we can really truly solve our problems once again and come back again as a leader of the world, so that we can show the world the justice and mercy which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and blessed the world when they were ruled under Islam. We should be, my dear brothers and sisters, not spectators or those who are standing by watching the march for Islam taking place, and while we are standing cheering for them or standing there without any feeling for them. We should be the spearhead of such a movement. We should be the ones who lead the Muslim Ummah in the return for Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, insha'Allah ta'ala, will give us our victory. Wa kana haqqan alayna nasr al-mu'mineen. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Takbir! Takbir! Takbir!
Jazakallah khairan, Brother Muhammad Hanini, talking about the vital issues. And just to recap, we must understand that the problems of Bosnia, the problems of Palestine, the problems of Kashmir lie in a political leadership. The Kafir have convinced us that we are helpless. The Kafir has convinced us that we need the United Nations. We need no one but Allah. We need nothing but our iman in Allah. And as long as we are steadfast, insha'Allah, Allah will give us victory. Brother Jamal Harwood, who's also a member of Hizb al-Tahrir, he's on the editorial board of Khilafah magazine. I'm sure many of you have seen Khilafah magazine supplements which have been distributed in today's conference. Jamal was instrumental in writing those and working on those. Inshallah, Brother Jamal Harwood is going to deliver a talk entitled The Future of Muslims in the West. So inshallah, Brother Jamal. And brothers, if we can just remind you, and sisters, when we inshallah we appreciate our speaker, we'd prefer if you didn't clap, we'd prefer that you gave him takbir. So, Allahu Akbar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In Alhamdulillah, نستعين واستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من يهده فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I bear witness that there is none more worthy of worship than Allah, He the Supreme, He that guided us to Islam, He that revealed this book, the Quran, as a lasting testament for all of mankind. And I bear witness that Muhammad, may the peace and prayers be upon him, upon his family, upon his followers, and behind all the rest of the Muslim Ummah. I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed this deen, this message to us and to mankind in the very best possible manner. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'd like to start by talking about Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Ja'far was one of the first Muslims to embrace Islam at a very young age. And we look at the life of Ja'far, we can see many things for our situation in this country. In the height of the struggle against the Kufr system in Mecca, Ja'far, a young man in his early 20s, led an expedition of some of the most oppressed Muslims to Abyssinia. We all know the story. We all know the details. We all know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given them permission to make this hijrah about Abyssinia. Because there are many parallels between the Muslims in this country and the Muslims in the West and the Muslims of that time. If we look, yes, they lived in a separate land, but they didn't have a separate mentality. They had the same objective. They had the same belief. They obeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything that they did. Just because they were in another land, they could not abandon Allah and the Messenger. And they were still part of the movement to establish the Islamic State, even from Abyssinia. Musa bin Umair, radiallahu anhu, one of the great Sahabi, which we all read about in the textbooks. This man was one of the first to come back from Abyssinia. The moment an opportunity arose in which he could come back, even under false pretenses, he returned. And we know later that Musab was so instrumental in spreading the deen to the people of Yathrib, the tribes of Aus and Khazraj, those that gave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the pledge, the bayah, the second pledge, upon which he could implement the whole of Islam. But more than that, the Muslims in Abyssinia, they had a vision. They were not just travelers or tourists. They were not in a far land just to get a protection of the king there, despite the fact that they had been oppressed. They knew that their ultimate objective was to return to the Islamic State whenever they could. And they did return. And Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, when he returned, he led an expedition, was actually at the front of the armies along with Zayd, and was martyred in the battlefields of Mu'tah. We don't forget the work, the sweat, the struggle of the Muslims, including Ja'far. They're always in our thoughts. And lastly, before I go into the main points I wanted to make this evening, the Muslims in Abyssinia, they didn't compromise. Their objective was to establish Islam. They were part of a global movement. They proved to us that you don't have to be right in the heart of the Muslim lands to be supporting the call for the Islamic State. They didn't compromise with the system in Abyssinia. When the Negus, when the king of Abyssinia came under pressure, the Muslims didn't involve themselves in supporting his system, even though that he had protected them. We need to learn from these incidents and understand that what came before is a forerunner to our situation, and we need to study carefully. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? What was his message to the Muslims of Abyssinia, the Muslims of Mecca, and then the Muslims of Medina? I'd like to divide my brief talk into three parts. Inshallah, I'd like to talk a little bit about education in this country. It's a burning issue, one of great concern to all the parents, all the Muslim parents. I include myself amongst those numbers in this country. And I want to talk a little bit about the political situation of the Muslims in this country. Where do we stand? What is our objective? What can we achieve? What can we not achieve? What is open to us? And lastly, I want to put three points at the end of my talk as maybe a blueprint. And I know Omar Bakri Muhammad after me is going to expand on some of these issues. But I would like to put some three practical measures which we can maybe go away from this conference thinking about. The objective of this conference is not just to have a good day and come to listen to some talks, but to maybe take away some guidance, a little bit of understanding about our situation, and perhaps an agenda for the future. In terms of education, we cannot underestimate the impact upon Muslims, and in particular our youth, of living in a disbelieving society. When I say society, I mean more than just a collection of individuals, which is what the capitalist is wanting to tell us in terms of this country, that you are just a collection of individuals. Whether you're Muslim or socialist or capitalist or whatever you believe in, that we are part of a society which carries a certain thought, a certain belief. And not only does it carry a certain belief, it has certain laws and rules, and those rules and laws are being applied upon us. For example, even the rules and laws in this center have been very harshly applied upon some of the Muslims which were turned away earlier today. We cannot divorce ourselves from the fact that we live in that society. What I'm trying to say is that the society will impact upon our belief, our actions, and how we can lead our lives. There was a Times article in April 1991, and it put this point so clearly. Muslim children are being educated in secular British schools with English as their first language and British culture in place of their own. British education emphasizes independence of thought, and young Muslims are not impressed by the empty repetition of Islamic rituals and the pieties of uneducated imams. We shouldn't be naive in terms of that. Nevertheless, schooling is important. I want to come back to this in the final summary. We need a new vision for education. Many Muslims think that education in this society is to get a good degree, is to get merely to get a good job. And they wonder when their son, having gone through all these years of secondary and maybe tertiary education, is not showing up at the mosque, is not coming forward in terms of his namaz and his roza. What is going wrong? Where is the motivation amongst the parents to ensure that we can overturn or try to work against that? Or maybe set a new agenda for our youth. Give them something which they can hold on to. Some form of challenge, because I doubt that they have challenge in this society. It never used to be the problem in the past, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the time of Ja'far, a young man, Musa bin Umair, a young man. Their challenge was to establish Islam, to call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they never hold back in that. And that provided them with a motivation upon which they were successful. May God forbid if we give our children a powerful education in terms of letters after their name, degrees and jobs, etc. And it's all wasted in terms of their deen, in terms of their belief. Or may God forbid if they become pregnant out of marriage, or get involved in the drugs culture which is going on, and we see examples like this happening. We need a new concentration on issues related to the belief. What about the political process in this country? This is a great challenge to us as well. Many people ask, why do the Muslims, why are they not represented? Why are they a minority? Why are they not part of the political system? Why are they marginalized in this country? Surely with all our numbers, some people say 1.5 million. Really, some figures, I would put more like 3 to 4 million Muslims in this country. With such a large population, why can we not be more vocal, maybe, or more representative? There are very good reasons for this. Islam forbids us to involve ourselves directly in kufr system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa, وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ كَافِرِينَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. And never will Allah allow the disbelievers to have any form of authority over the believers. So how could we actively be seeking to put disbelievers into positions of authority? And I mean whether on your university campus, or in your council, or in your MPs, how could you be supporting them with something called non-Islam? There's a Sharia principle. Anything that agrees with Islam is kufr. Anything that disagrees with Islam is kufr. Meaning it should come from Islam, the basis should be from Islam. Meaning that ruling issues of affairs should be on the basis of the Islamic aqidah. And we need to study these matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many Quranic ayah, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَيْكَ هُمَا الْكَافِرُونَ. And those who do not judge by whatever Allah has revealed are disbelievers. أَنَكُمْ بَيْنْهُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ. And judge between them by what Allah has revealed. If you study your text, you will not find any room for the Muslim to be going onto a platform to be talking about kufr rules and laws. What on earth could the Labour or Tory party have for us? We are involved in a struggle of thoughts and ideas to pass Islam to the people in this country and to work to establish Islam in our lands. So how could we go onto their platform and try and compromise and try and look for such a small gain? Recently, a book was published by a man called Mervyn Hiskett, and he talked about Muslims in this country. He divided them into three categories. Ideological fundamentalism, those which have a concern for Islamic law and Islamic state, but no reference whatsoever to the universal needs of social and economic justice, freedom and equality. Subhanallah, as if those who are familiar with Islam as a way of life are not familiar with the justice of its system, with the strength of its economy, and how it looked after all beliefs and all faiths. So again, they distort even the definition of those carrying Islam as an ideology. Ideological revolutionary is a second category. Again, another false definition. Those who are prepared to use conflict for success, the material struggle in any issue. And thirdly, the category which I'm sure you have no doubt as to what they want to categorize us as. One of the earlier speakers said the labels they put across our foreheads, the spiritual humanistic, that development and growth are seen for the establishment of the unity of mankind. This spiritual or moderation, or the moderate views of Islam. Subhanallah, how could we let them define for what is Islam and what is non-Islam? How could we let them put forward the agenda for what we should be? We should be very happy that Prince Charles comes forward and says nice things about Islam. How he has deep respect for the Islamic culture and Islamic tradition and history. But never on earth would we dream of allowing Prince Charles to set an agenda for the Muslims in this country. If Prince Charles respects Islam so much, let him embrace Islam. Let him see him in the mosque. Let him come to Islam, this man, if he has a vision.
Jamal,
we have to talk, we have to create a climate in this society in which the Prince Charleses and all the rest of them out there know the force of Islam in terms of its thought and idea, and not in terms of the corruption of the media. Let me summarize very quickly. I know the time is coming on. Our vision for Islam in Britain, 3 points. Education, interaction and support. Why do we say these three words? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam worked to establish a state He didn't know where it was going to come. He moved, and I know the next speaker is going to go into more detail on this subject. He moved a nation of people that were worshipping idols in a very short period of time. He took three steps. He cultured people. He established a group, a movement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to establish groups and movements. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَرْعُونِ الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Let there be from amongst you group or groups calling to khair, calling to Islam, commanding what is right and forbidding what is munkar. And they are those that shall have success. The function of that group is to be cultured, to understand Islam in detail, and to be able to take Islam to the people. Where are those groups? We must support those people which are culturing Islam. Up and down this country, every single month we have hundreds of talks and lectures, tafsir of Quran, seerah, usul al-fiqh, basic teachings in Islam, political awareness. This is what we need to encourage amongst the Muslims. And it's not enough. We need to open up our homes. We need to open up our community centers. We need to open up the mosques. The function of a mosque is not just to pray, because the youth are not praying. And they're not coming there because they're not getting sufficient culture. I know there are imams out there listening that want to open their mosques. They want to break free from this control, this thought control of the Saudis or the Iranians or these regimes which are not implementing Islam and are not helping us to establish Islam, are not helping us to carry Islam to these people. They are wanting to break free from this control. Why can we not help them? People say, where are the Muslim armies? The Muslim armies are in the Muslim lands. We have millions of Muslim soldiers who are there prepared to be there in the forefront of this struggle in terms of Palestine, in terms of Bosnia, in terms of Kashmir. We just need to have the authority over those Muslim armies. You can play a part in that. You can support your Muslim brothers. You can support the Muslim movements which are working in the Muslim lands to directly establish the Khilafah. Don't forget your responsibility in that issue. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ameen, ameen. Ya rabbil alameen.
The program along very, very quickly. I'm going to move straight to Omar Bakri Muhammad, who is the responsible for Hizb al-Tahrir in Britain. And I'm just going to leave it straight to you, Omar.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. In the name of Allah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, I will start my speech focusing on a little bit what happened with me in 1984. I visited this country 1984, only for about 1 week. And I remember I watched television. It was at that time people discussed the circumcision of the woman in Islam. And after 1 year, 1985, when I come again here, I found the people talking about circumcision of women in Islam. And people talking about halal meat. I said to myself, Islam is way of life. Why did it not discuss Islam on that level? The level of way of life. Why the media in the West and some Muslims, they want always to portray Islam is only in certain minute issues. It could be useful, but if we put the whole case of Islam properly in order to invite no Muslim to Islam as we believe it, after that will be much better. Alhamdulillah, with your help, the Muslims in Britain raised the level of discussion from circumstances to the issue of Khilafah, from the issue of halal meat to the issue of unity, from the issue of people talking all the time about mortgage to the issue people talk all the time about how we can get rid from the world mortgage system existing in our country. In the light of that, I'm going to start. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr. Allah, He is the creator and He is the commander. But unfortunately, there are some people today who got this secular disease, or I call it myself, intellectual AIDS called secularism, which people always separate the deen, you know, from system of life. They separate all the time religion from life. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the mankind, He did not create them for nothing. He set up the objective subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. For only one objective subhanahu wa ta'ala is to worship Him. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Al-ibada in Islam mean to submit to the command of Allah, mean to follow the command of Allah, and mean to obey Allah and His Messenger in every matter. That's the meaning of Islam. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. It's not enough you say you recognize Allah is the creator. You must as well recognize that the command for none but Allah, and that is what itself, that is what this conference is about. We want ourselves to establish this linkage between the aqidah and the sharia. The sharia itself is a system of life derived from the Islamic aqidah. The superpowers, when they occupied Muslims' country and destroyed the Islamic state, and they themselves implanted this, you know, creed of secularism, they separate the creed from the system of life. If our system of life not based on the aqidah, on the iman, on the tawheed, from where we get it? What type of way of life we have today in the whole world? What type of relationship we have today in the whole world? That is why we know, we as Muslims in Britain here, the Muslim community, not only Hizb al-Tahrir, not only some individuals, the whole Muslim ummah, we are working together side to side to implement Islam. But we must understand what is Islam properly. My message to you as follow. I'm going to cover quickly three areas. Our problem here as a Muslim community, and our problem as a Muslim ummah, and in the end, some type of comparison between the past and the present. Quickly. I'm not supposed to deliver talk. Even before I deliver talk, they said, Omar talking, you know, for destruction of the Western power. I did not deliver talk in the morning, and you witness that. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Allah said, we create this ummah, ummatan wasata, mean the ummah itself will take charge and leadership by Islam, because sovereignty for none but Allah. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, to witness the affair of the mankind. How we are going to witness the affair of the mankind when ourselves we do not implement Islam in our life as a Muslim ummah? Look here today, we are gathering from all over the world. Don't think at all it's just some talk here in Britain. This type of talk is the manifestation, is the voice, is the hope, is the feeling, is the work of the Muslim ummah there. We are here, represent their own voice here in Britain. They are living there under corrupted regimes. They cannot speak. They cannot express what they want. They have been themselves suppressed badly by all these corrupted regimes, which controlled by the West. And we found ourselves. We have a stand. We can use. It's better to use it. Even some people said, you have a freedom in this country. We don't call that freedom. We call ourselves our right as a human being, as Islam is decided. Therefore, we are working together, you know, as Muslim ummah, to bring back Islam. But the most important thing, to have this mentality, Islam, you know, is leadership for the whole Muslim ummah to be under the sovereignty of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. At the first aim, carry da'wah to Muslims, let them understand Islam as a way of life, and carry da'wah to non-Muslims in this country, let them themselves invite them to Islam. That's what we are working in order themselves to see the guidance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He guide us to. That's our responsibility as well. If they did not themselves embrace Islam, at least to enable us to clean the image of Islam, to clean what I mean, this pollution they created here in the West, those enemy of Islam against Islam. If not, at least themselves took to Islam as a way of life, and to understood if Islam implemented any part of the world does not mean at all he going himself to declare war against this man or this man. Islam itself is a unique system with unique methodology. that the first aim, carry da'wah to Muslims and carry da'wah to non-Muslims. The second aim here in Britain, you know, we want ourselves to remember we are part of a global ummah. We are not people who are living here as a minority. That is insult for the Muslims. That is insult for the Muslim ummah to think we are minority. We are not minority. We are part of a global ummah. Therefore, we must all the time establish this linkage between the Muslim ummah, you know, and the community, or between the Muslim community and the Muslim ummah. That's why we talk all the time about Bosnia, Kashmir, Palestine, what's going on in Iraq, in Saudi Arabia, in Jordan, in Sudan. We talk about all this all the time because we want the Muslim community never forget they are part of a global ummah. In order to do so, they must care about the affair of the Muslim ummah. They must do what Islam ordered them to be part of this ummah. That's why all the time we discuss the level, you know, the level of our discussion itself all the time is the Muslim ummah whenever they are. Number three, we are 26 million Muslim in Europe. Those 26 million Muslims themselves, they must at least have some type of intellectual or have some type of intellectual unification, some type of unification by thought, by ideas, or about the vital issues. They must themselves be aware about their own responsibility through the function of the Muslim community all over the mean Europe, all in the West. They must themselves have this linkage. This type of meeting is very mean good because it manifests that people come all over the world despite all this bad publicity, despite all this mean propaganda to terrify the people and close the door outside and don't permit those people to come without ticket. Though there is many itself, you know, seat to sit down, they terrify the Muslim community. Despite all this, all the Muslims attend because they know very well Islam is not racism. Islam does not continue to support any terrorism. Islam is purely the religion which he conveyed the message to the whole mankind by peaceful methodology and a unique methodology, the Islamic State we carry it. Here my advice to you. Protect ourselves and our children from the hellfire. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
This is the declaration of the International Muslim Khilafah Conference, produced on the 30th of Safar, 1415 Hijri, 7th of August 1974. We, the Muslim International Muslim Khilafah Conference, declare the following. Number one, the central and most urgent objective for the Muslim is to re-establish the Khilafah system. That the Khilafah our second declaration is that the Khilafah is one indivisible entity that includes all parts of the Muslim world. Our third declaration, that all the regimes, not one of them misses this point, all the regimes ruling and prevailing in the Muslim world are neither Islamic, which means they're kufr, nor approved. They don't have our approval as Muslim ummah. They are neither approved by the Muslim people, and therefore they're invalid, fasid, have no legitimacy in Islamic law. Our fourth point in our declaration, that all negotiations, and let's not leave this point ambiguous, and let the media hear this, all negotiations conducted and accords signed for it between the regimes and the organizations of the Muslim world with Israel are illegal, null and void, have no validity in Islam. This means there is no, read my lips, no peace with the state of Israel till the state of Israel is demolished. Yes, Arafat negotiations, King Hussein negotiations are the same as Sadat negotiations. They have no validity in Islam and are not binding upon any Muslim from the 2 billion Muslims of this earth. And our fifth declaration.
our fifth declaration. This is a word for Kashmir. This is a word for Burma. This is a word for Palestine. Our fifth declaration is that all Muslim lands must be liberated. All Muslim lands must be reunified within the Muslim world. Not one land should be left under the authority of Kufa. Not one inch of land should be left under the authority of Kufa. Whether that Kufa authority is in the hand of one of these regimes or whether it's in the hands of the Kafir. All Muslim land must be liberated. All Muslim land must be unified.